Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 2nd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabweans expressed mixed views over the launch of the Zimbabwe People's First Party, led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru.
Dr. Joyce Mujuru still suffers from serious credibility deficit. She was part of the system from 1980 up to 2014 when she was booted out from the party.
Zimbabwe's central bank has assured depositors that the banking sector is not facing a crisis following an announcement by Barclays Private Limited this week that it intends to sell its stake in Barclays Africa Group Limited.
What it means is that when there is that divestment, it means that shareholding has to be taken up by local shareholders. So the new Barclays will actually be a wholly owned local financial institution.
And Zimbabwean parliamentarians pressed the International Monetary Fund to improve relations with Zimbabwe.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The launch of the Zimbabwe People First Party by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru in Harare on Tuesday has met with mixed reactions. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi went into the streets of Harare and filed this report.
Several Harare residents who spoke to Studio 7 said Mrs. Mujuru has to work hard if a new party wants to dislodge ZANU-PF from power in the 2018 national elections. Bevan Chihuri of Mavuku said indications are that Mrs. Mujuru has what it takes to wrestle power from President Robert Mugabe come elections.
She seems to be someone who is prepared to take from the power from the ruling party.
This was echoed by Westgate resident Kudzanai Msena. He said Mrs. Mujuru, who has been in government since independence in 1980, commands the respect of the military that has openly said it would not salute any leader without Liberation War credentials, in apparent reference to former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, leading the main opposition movement for democratic change.
Everywhere in the world, the army supports the government that would be in power at that particular time. So naturally, any new leader who is coming, you just change maybe the leadership of the army, we don't talk.
After launching the Zimbabwe People First Party yesterday, one of Mrs. Mujuru's supporters, Patience Badzima, said the former deputy president is the only person, at least in her view, that can guarantee stability in the country if ZANU-PF was defeated in elections.
I do support the idea as long as it's going to give us peace, and this poverty is too much. People are suffering while people are just fighting. Bamberina Mai Mujuru.
Another Harare resident, Edgar Gweshe, said Mrs. Mujuru has to come out clean over her involvement in government with regards to alleged election rigging and human rights violations if she was to get considerable support from Zimbabweans enough to win against Mr. Mugabe and his party.
I don't think she will be able to make much of an impact, because even if you look at Mujuru herself, this was part of the system that was responsible for the mass media of innocent Zimbabweans, the system that was responsible for election rigging, and also she's surrounded by the same people who are part of that system.
Political commentator and director of the Coalition Against Corruption, Terry Muchanga, said Mrs. Mujuru missed an opportunity to cleanse herself yesterday when she formally announced the formation of her party, adding that this would be her biggest undoing in the upcoming polls.
Dr. Joyce Mujuru still suffers from serious credibility deficit. She was part of the system from 1980 up to 2014 when she was booted out from the party. So I don't think the people of Zimbabwe could be foolish enough to think that there's something new that she has come up with to bring change in this in Zimbabwe. She still has ZANU-PF DNA tendencies.
ZANU-PF has over the years been linked to serious human rights violations, including atrocities committed by the 5th Brigade in Matabeleland and the Midlands provinces in the 1980s. Some Zimbabweans also believe that the former vice president does not have the power to single-handedly remove Mr. Mugabe from power. Barnabas Tondlana, editor of the Observer newspaper, said Mrs. Mujuru should therefore join forces with Tsvangirai in order to increase the opposition's chances of winning in 2018.
If Manjuru and Morgan Tsvangirai join hands, they have a better chance of removing the president from power. Because what you must look at here is that Manjuru is bringing somebody who can get us into the transition that we are looking for, who is accepted by the military, who is accepted by the generality of the population, and who can have hold a sway with the general populace. But Morgan, the one advantage that he has the numbers, but he does not have any respect from the military.
Some observers say opposition parties should start coalition negotiations in time for the elections in order to prepare the electorate for the polls. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe has assured depositors that the banking sector is not facing a crisis following an announcement by Barclays PLC this week that it intends to sell its 62.3% stake in Barclays Africa Group Limited, which has operations in 11 African countries, including Zimbabwe. In a statement, Central Bank Chief John Mangudya said at this stage the Barclays Private Limited company strategy does not impact on the status of Barclays Bank of Zimbabwe Limited on its everyday operations. Barclays Bank of Zimbabwe Managing Director George Guvamatanga told stakeholders Tuesday that even though there was intention to sell, the bank was still part of the PLC family and remained committed to serving its customers. In a related development, some banks are struggling to provide cash and are limiting amounts to individuals and companies, which the central bank blamed on the financial institutions underestimating demand and failing to improve cash distribution to branches. Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the statement by Mangudya is in line with his role.
It's not an unusual step. One of the major roles of the central bank in any country is to ensure that there is financial sector stability. And when a situation arises, like it has arisen in Zimbabwe, where there are negative sentiments concerning one financial institution, which could potentially trigger a bank run on that financial institution that could even poison the whole financial system, I think it becomes incumbent on the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe to kind of settle the nerves of depositors and also settle the nerves of even investors, local or international investors.
Barclays Bank PLC, which owns 68% of Barclays Bank Zimbabwe Limited, announced that it is exiting from Africa as it seeks to focus on the British and American markets. What impact is this likely to have on Zimbabwe?
What it will definitely affect financial sector confidence. Because what it means is that when there is that divestment, it means that shareholding has to be taken up by local shareholders. So the new Barclays will actually be a wholly owned local financial institution. And what we have witnessed over the past few years is that our local financial institutions have been affected by cases of poor corporate governance, cases of lax internal controls. That's why most of the banks that have collapsed over the past few years were locally owned financial institutions. So a number of depositors may not be comfortable with depositing or doing business with a locally owned Barclays bank because of the challenges that we have witnessed in the locally owned financial institutions.
We understand that some people are experiencing cash shortages, and the central bank is saying it is not a problem of the availability of cash, but it's more about distribution. Do you buy this explanation from the central bank?
It's difficult to really know the actual position. It could be a function of both. It could be a function, number one, of distribution, as the central bank is saying, but it could also be the fact that depositors are not confident about the financial system in Zimbabwe.
That was Chief Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, Zimbabwean lawmakers today told an International Monetary Fund team visiting the country to assess the final phase of the staff monitored program that the IMF is taking too long to normalize relations with Zimbabwe. The parliamentarians said the country would be soon heading for elections to choose another government without any meaningful action from the multinational institution. But the head of IMF believes that Zimbabwe should first pay its huge debts before the IMF normalizes relations with the Southern African nation. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Frustrated lawmakers from Parliament's Budget and Finance Committee told the IMF team, after it had briefed them on their mission, that the staff monitored program, which started in 2013 during the inclusive government era, is taking too long, and if nothing is done now, the country would start preparing for the next elections without any meaningful progress in normalizing relations with Zimbabwe. Committee Chairman David Chafika of ZANU-PF said there's been extensions to the program without any tangible benefits.
Can you tell us exactly whether you want, whether this one, there's going to be any value derived from this, or it's something that we should forget about?
Another lawmaker, Samson Mukandiro of ZANU-PF, asked the IMF team to be flexible so that Zimbabwe can resume accessing financial assistance from the Bretton Woods institutions and other international organizations.
We are not saying the fund should just be, pump money into the country.
But head of mission, Domenico Faniza, said while Zimbabwe had made some progress in the staff monitored program and had submitted its debt payment plan to the IMF in Lima, Peru last October, the organization cannot do anything unless Zimbabwe pays its debt.
You have to pay back the arrears. Until Zimbabwe has not paid back the arrears to the fund, the World Bank and the African Development Bank, we cannot act.
He added that it was also critical for Zimbabwe to build consensus from the international creditors, who are key in the decisions of the IMF board. He said, while the IMF mission can present a good report on Zimbabwe, nothing positive would come out if relations were not good with international creditors.
It will be critical and essential to make sure that we have the support of the stakeholder. Otherwise, even if the fund staff says, well, look, we have an ambitious program, we're happy, the board will not accept it.
He said indications are that some of the issues worrying international creditors were not related to debt, but also to the land reform, as spelled out in the constitution. Faniza said the sooner the country sorted this, the better. Former Treasury Chief Economist Masimba Manyanya told Studio 7 the lawmakers' frustrations were understandable. He said while Zimbabwe's pace meeting some staff-monitored program targets has been commendable, there is nothing noticeable on the ground, hence the frustrations by lawmakers and ordinary people.
They are asking the same question that other people are asking. Look, we have tried to achieve A, B, C, D, and E on the schedule of targets set by the IMF, but where is it being reflected positively on the ground? You ask that question, you don't get an easy answer, and the elections are arriving. So you have a reason to start panicking.
He said, if anything, things could get worse because what is simply happening now is restructuring the economy to prepare it to receive investment in future. Both Manyanya and Faniza agreed that there is no other way for Zimbabwe except the route that the country has taken. An IMF team is in Zimbabwe for 2 weeks to assess the staff-monitored program and make further consultations, and will present its report to the IMF board meeting in May. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.